All right, here we go. Part two. We are on the last day, last day's church. And I'm excited about this teaching. I don't know how long, again, it's going to last. This could be the last day of it. I don't know. But we're going to go as far as the Lord wants us to go. But when we got together in part one, we were talking about Revelation chapter 19. Let's go there real quick. Revelation chapter 19, I believe I began in verse 6. I think that was. Let's go look and see. And as I heard it, were the voice of great multitudes and Benjamin Faircloth screaming so loud. And Mark tried to outdo him, and it didn't work. No, but that's us, right? That's us hollering, man. That's hollering time. And as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Somebody say amen. He didn't reign. He is reigning, man. He is reigning and ruling. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing a picture of heaven. We're seeing a picture of shouting. Why? Because this is the great get up day. This is the great day, the gathering, the family reunion, Mama and Papa and whoever else is out there, the gone before us and the great preachers before us and family members and uncles and aunts and aunties and however you pronounce them for your life and culture. All of our family is going to be there. And we're with Jesus. That's the greatest part about it. Amen. So they're singing praises. Now next verse. Why? What's happening? What's all the commotion about? Let us be glad and rejoice. You ought to do that now. Let us be glad. Well, see, that's the thing about faith. If I know I'm going to be there someday, why don't I get happy now? Because I'm going through stuff. Yeah, but you're going to get out of that stuff one day. Trouble don't last all night long. It's going to pass. And think of your future. Now, again, you know, that isn't to have a death wish or, you know, I'd rather be there than here type of thing. It just means, look, man, I know where I'm headed. I know my destination. I'm not worried about it. It's all good. Man, do you have fearless faith like that? What can the devil do to you? What can life do to you? To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Well, I'm going to kill you. Bye. Somebody say, you did me a favor. Watch this. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Again, a good thing to do on earth. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. So I don't want to re-preach everything, teach everything again, but what did she do? She made herself ready. Again, what is the end time church? Well, we're going to find out about it. We're going to go down that journey. We're going to discover really what our purpose is. And I've got something really cool for you here towards the end of the program of the teaching that I want to show you. But we got to get there. So how do we make ourselves ready? And that's the whole beginning of this teaching. And I gave you that whole paradigm of cornerstone information. I'm not going to read it again where I told you, you know, God is sovereign. He's in control. He's going to get us there. If the Lord tarries and we're not a part of the particular day that happens, we get to be in that day in heaven. You understand what I'm saying? If you go before, you're still going to be right there. But if we're here, God's going to get us to the point that we're ready as a church. So what does that look like? So that's my destination. That's your destination. Anybody says, where are you going? Where are you headed at the end of your life? Well, right here. Just take them over here because that's where we're headed. But this is so important. His wife has made herself ready. And the reason we bring this out in this teaching is she doesn't look ready. The church doesn't look ready. If we look across the landscape and across the fruited plains of our nation and other nations of the world, the church just doesn't look ready. Why? Because of the sin, the degradation, the if you will, spiritual adultery we've committed. We've turned our back against the Lamb and the agreements and all the things that holiness brings and a marriage would bring if it was a natural thing. We've done that. We've broke our vows. We haven't even gone to the altar yet, per se. Is that right? So look at the next verse. So how do we fix it? This is all a recap. And to her was granted. Remember, she got what? Permission so that she can be arrayed. That's a very powerful statement. Again, it's not talking about being born again. Of course, you're born again, but she was granted that permission to be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, we know that represents purity. I could do a teaching on the fine linen and the clean and white, but here he explains it to you. For the fine linen is what? The righteousness of the saints. So what it is, it's what the deeds, the righteousness, the goodness, the mission, the mandate, following what God has said, living the life we're supposed to do, the best that we possibly can, coming together in the unity, the power of love, and that righteousness is added unto us or is imputed unto us, and that becomes our garment. Remember, we went into it, and I'm not going to do the whole thing, but Romans chapter 5, we're righteous by the blood, no doubt. No doubt. That's why anybody that's born again and has gone to heaven, they're going to be a part of this. Their righteousness is already given to them. But there is a bride that's going to be on the earth. There's a church that's going to be on the earth. And the combination of what she's doing and the combination of what they did will produce that bride. Does that make any sense? There's got to be someone alive on the earth during the end times. There has to be a church alive, obviously, because of what the word declares. They got to be doing what's right. Does that make any sense? And so, again, not going back over it, but we have that gift of righteousness that Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 5. Absolutely, I get it by salvation. I'm positionally righteous with God because now I'm in right standing with him. Then, remember what I said, you have to walk out your righteousness. If you're truly righteous positional, then you'll be righteous progressively and through your life, right? Again, if someone discovers you're a Christian and goes, I never knew that, that's pretty bad. But if you've been around them a little while, they ought to know you're a Christian. Why? Because of your righteousness, not because you held a Bible and threatened them with it or, you know, prayed in tongues and your eyes fell back behind your head or something. You know, they just said, wow, that's a righteous person in Jesus' name. And so that's what we're talking about. That's where we're headed. So let's go tonight to part two. And I want to chop it up a little bit because I got to get into all of this tonight that I possibly can. Okay, so our journey is to the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? And it will be on what? The road of righteousness. The road of righteousness. My question to you, as I presented it before, is the current church, the current condition of the church, are we on the right path now? No, we're not. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, you're beating up on the church. No, I'll just use statistics and facts. We know what's going on. We can see it. It's happening. People we know that are believers or say they're believers, they act like heathens. On and on it goes. We know this. So how do we get there? I'm glad you asked. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 22 starting out there. Probably get down to verse 33. But Ephesians chapter 5. Again, this is the roadway, this is the path of righteousness to getting to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Obviously, when you're born again, you have access to it. God's granted that to you. You got the ticket. But there's also a life to live till you get there. All right? So let's talk about that. Interesting. Watch this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. By the way, women, that's your own husband. No, you have to add dinner because some people, women, think they have to be submissive to men. No, to your own husband. No, I didn't get very many amens from the women, but that's okay. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So here we're getting this understanding, as unto the Lord. So he's using this as an example. Is it a true principle? Yes, it is. But there's a reason behind this. Watch. Next verse. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So the husband is that head. He's that authority. Now watch this, ladies. If I don't have a husband, who's my head? Jesus. He is. So you're not submitted to another man. That's why he said it that way. Or to another, to your own husband. So your own husband is not Fred down the road that's married to somebody else because he's a man, he's ahead of you. No, your husband now becomes Christ if you don't have that man in the home. Does that make sense? Even if you do have a husband, he's still the head of it all. But you have to submit yourself to the head given to you before you get to the head. That's just the way that is. And to do anything opposite of that is to circumnavigate and to go against God's divine order. I'm not getting any help. That's called rebellion. Submission doesn't mean dominance. Submission means I willingly, in humble love, give myself to you in honor of who you are and your position under God. I may not agree with you. I may not like what you say. And I may not even like what you do sometimes. But I'm submitted to you because of him that's above you. That's why it's imperative the woman that is, those who are watching right now, you have a husband that's unsaved. You need to love them as you would love Christ. And then through that love, hopefully they would see and become born again. I heard one preacher say it this way. You got to love the hell out of them. You got to love the hell out of them. Smith Wigglesworth, when he was living in his sinner's day, he was a rough plumber. Just a rough plumber guy. Not all plumbers are bad, but this guy, he was rough. And his wife would continuously pray for him and continuously being kind to him. And he would get mad about it. Why was you so nice to me, you know, and all these different things. But she just kept serving him as unto the Lord. And one day he became what? A great apostle of faith because of her. It's an amazing story. And there's so many other stories like that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. So here we go. We're seeing something here. He's teaching us a principle. All right, next verse. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in a few things, in everything. So he's given this analogy here, and he's flipping it back and forth between husband and wife, Christ and church, church and Christ. You see this? He's talking about what? Therefore, as much as the church is subject to Christ, wives to your husbands and everything. So he's talking about total submission to the church, to Christ, as well as wives to the husbands. It's just a beautiful picture of walking in what? Unity. It's unity. Watch. Next verse. Husband, love, this is hard, love your wives. Why? Even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. So the husband is to love his wife even unto death. If it's called upon, he would lay down his life. No greater love hath a man for his friend than he does what? Lays down his life for him. Laying down your life doesn't mean taking a bullet or an arrow. Laying your life could be daily by working your job and paying the bills. My aspirations and my ambitions of life can be wanting to go do this, but when I get married, I need to go do that. I laid that down as Christ laid down his life as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reigning, ruling monarch of the universe. He came down the earth, humbled himself, became a man wrapped in flesh. Come on, somebody. The very Spirit of God, the very Spirit of life, the Word of God became flesh, dwelt among us. Come on. Emmanuel, God is with us. He made that sacrificial commitment. He laid down his life through his life, and then he ultimately laid it down at the cross. Is that right? That's absolutely right. So this is the picture he's showing us. He's using marriage because it's a great illustration, but it's an illustration of what the church is supposed to be. Catch me on this. Because so many times we hear this from a marriage teaching and all that, but hear the spirit of this. He is looking for that bride. So he's looking for a church that would be submissive, not resistive. I want to preach. I want to preach. Submissive. Yes, yes, yes to your will. Yes, I love you. Yes, whatever you want. Now see, watch this. This is, don't get mad at me, ladies, okay? Because I love our sisters in Christ. I love my wife. Hey, God has made you very special. Women are very special. But in America, we've become rebellious in a lot of ways to submissions. And I understand atmosphere has done it. Politics has done it to us. Men have done it to us. You know, all those things have created who we are today. I get it. But if we're really be Christ-like, we're supposed to not be callous, jaded, rebellious, rejective, but receptive. A woman was made to receive. That's her creative order, to receive and to give and to create. Come on, somebody. When a woman, the woman takes a seed, but she can make a child. She can take that child and make a family. She can take a house and make it a home. I mean, a woman is creative, and God did that for a reason. And so what he wants, the same aspect through this illustration, is a church to do the same, be submissive. Now, I use the women analogy for today's ladies because of, you know, women's rights, and, you know, she rolled up her sleeve and now she can go out and swing a hammer and all these. Okay, that's cool. That's macho, right? And then we've gotten into feminism, and all these different things have just really tainted the picture. But if you really would look at Old Testament submissiveness, and even in certain cultures today, the women doted over the husband. I'm going to do two steps back because I'm getting fangs coming out. Purses are being thrown like this, like David's sling. Now, and I'm not excluding man now. Hold on. Because I already said man got to lay down his life. He lay down the remote first. Put that remote down. Come on, Sarah. He's got to do it, and he's got to submit and lay his life down for his wife. So it's an equal thing here. But what I'm getting at is we've missed this point. And so the church has looked at Jesus not in that submissive way. Now let's take gender out of this. Let's talk about the church in general. We're not submissive to him. We're resistive. We've got that feministic view, that macho view on the man side, that you serve me. But true love lays down. True love puts the towel over the arm and says, how may I serve you? What can I do to make it easier on you? How can I bless you? Now, come on, there's times when you're self-centered and it's about you, and you have to deal with that. That's part of humanity. But when it comes to the church, our focus should always be, yes, Lord, yes, what do you want? We are the bride. We are the submissive ones, and you're not an abuser. You're not going to hurt me no more. Nobody's going to hurt me anymore because you're in the house. I'm about to run around this building. I'm not going to be abused anymore because you're the true lover of my soul. I'm not afraid that someone's stealing out of my bank account because you're the one that fills my bank account to overflow. I'm not going to worry about any of these things because you're the answer to all my dreams. You are truly the knight in shining armor. Wow. Now, if the church would really get a hold of what I just said, that would be the picture of the end time church. What do you want, Lord? What do you want from me? What can I do? Here's my money. Here's my treasures. Here's my life. Here's everything I have. I want to give it to you because I just absolutely adore you. Wow. Flip that. That this is a beautiful picture. Oh, that's not realistic. Yes, it is. That's exactly what he's wanting. That's exactly what some of us have in our relationships, and some of us are trying, and what we're all going to end up being in the coming days. I'm telling you, we're going to get to, you'll see it here in a minute, but we're going to get to a point to where the only thing, the only one that matters is Jesus. This building won't matter no more. The seats, the comfort, the stuff, the stuff we're doing, none of it will matter. What will matter is pleasing him. Could you imagine when the church gets that way? I know we do that and we try, And it's different, you know, it seems more flowery when you're up here. But the truth of the matter is, if we would just apply our love to him as we would in the natural, it would just turn our relationship with God around. And the body of Christ would be so much healthier in love with him. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. That's powerful, isn't it? Next verse. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So his death, his burial, his resurrection, his life in general brought what? Sanctification and cleansing by the water of the word. His spoken word cleanses us. How are we going to get to Revelation 19? Right there, the word. Standing in submission, standing under his authority, and he speaks the words of life to us. breaking open the bread of life, the word of God. Let him breathe into you and speak to you. And that brings sanctification. That brings you separation. That brings you holiness and righteousness and power and strength. Nah, you're not going to be perfect, but you're going to be on the road to perfection. Besides, the word perfect in the Bible doesn't mean perfect as in not doing anything wrong. It means completion. I don't need nobody else. I don't need Buddha. I don't need your horoscopes. I don't need your fortune cookies and Christ. Come on, somebody. I don't need the rabbit's foot and the cross. I'll take the cross, please. You can stick the rabbit foot where it needs to be in the closet. You know, whatever. Whew, got out of that one. Are you here? Watch this. Next verse. Y'all were thinking bad stuff. That he might present it to himself. What's he going to do? Present it to himself, a glorious church. So now he's talking about the church, but he used marriage as an application or a symbolic understanding. He might present it to himself, a glorious church. He wants a glorious church. He wants a beautiful church. Thank God it has nothing to do with this right here, this face and what we have, because we're in trouble. You know, like they used to say, you got a faith on your mama, face mama can love. I mean, you know. Daddy said, you were so ugly, we had to tie a meter on your neck, let the dog play with you. Y'all remember that one? That's an old one. You got to go back to the 80s for that one. But he's doing that he might present it to himself. So in other words, he wants that church that is glorious, that's been cleaned, if you will, sanctified by the washing of the water of the word, baptized in his presence, so that he can have what he wants. Look at it this way. He wants what he wants, and he's going to get what he wants. He's not going after a church. Okay, how can I say this real nicely? Let's just use dating, for example. You ever dated somebody because you were kind of desperate to go out that night? Thank you, sister, for being honest. I got an honest laugh right there. You know what I mean? I mean, if not for, you know, whatever, to get something. They had money to go buy food. You didn't, so you went out with them. Or going to the prom, you know, with the one that no one picked. Yeah, the bottom of the barrel. All right, come on, let's go. I'll dance with you. You know, here we go. Maybe it was some of y'all. I don't know. Maybe it might have been me. He's not looking. He's not doing that. He's not on a blind date. He's looking for the glorious church. So here, listen, this is not condescending. This is how much he values the church, that he's going to present it to himself glorious. He's going to. You're not catching this. He's going to. So that's why I have great hope. I know she's in drag right now. I know she's messed up. I know the body is in a lot of problems. We're a fragment and we're in trouble. But what's coming is going to bring sanctification, cleansing to us, unity, and a presentation to Jesus as a glorious church. It's going to happen. But it ain't going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. Let me try that again. It's not going to be like we think it's going to happen. We think it's through camera and the glamour and all the stuff that's there that's on Christian television today. That will not be the end time church. There'll be aspects of it. God will use media tools. He'll do everything he's doing right now. But there's going to come a time when all of that is going to fade away. And you're going to get right down to the core and the rawness of our relationship with God. Because that's what it's going to take to bring the rest of the bride in. See, I'm not speaking to everybody, but I'm speaking to somebody. And there is a part of the bride that God's trying to bring back. This is why we preach what we preach. This is why he has me say the messages that I have. I know it's harsh, it's hard, it seems cruel, whatever it may be, but it is affecting people to get back into the fold, right? And it's also keeping me in the fold. I want to walk right, don't you? That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Wait a minute now. Okay, so not spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, I'm having trouble here. How am I? Are we headed to the dry cleaners? Yeah. what's coming and what's happening right now, the things that are happening, this is so tied into last Sunday's message, is because God is using this to bring us closer to him. It's not to go in a bunker. It's not to go buy as much survival food as you possibly can. And if you do that, that's fine. That's preparation. We teach that. I believe that. But that's not the sole reason. The sole reason for hearing what's happening is for us to draw closer to God and say, I don't want to walk with the world. I don't want to walk in unrighteousness. I want to get rid of my pornography. I want to get rid of my smoking. I want to get rid of my habits. I want to get rid of my secret drinking or whatever it is. I want to get rid of it and get closer to God. Cleanse me, O Lord. I don't look at these signs and times and freak out and say, oh my gosh, it's over. I look at it and I pin it and I say, that's part of what the word says. I have to be aware of it. I'm not going to be ignorant about it. But we know what it does. When no one else is looking, when I'm alone, it draws me closer to God because I recognize the word. I'm like, I'm being washed by that water of the word. Whether the word's prophetic or whether the word is Proverbs or Psalms or whatever you're reading. But especially when you see these days happening. So how's he going to get us there? Well, he's getting us there now. He's going to get us there. Are you ready for this? This is kind of I'm kind of giving the whole story away. But he's going to get us there through tribulation. Tribulation is your dry cleaners. Because I don't know about you. Have you ever watched clothes in a washer? It isn't like... Right? I mean, it depends on what you got going on. Maybe delicate's a little, you know, but everything. You put a pair of jeans in there, you better not put it on delicate. It's going to be, right? You ever go down to dry cleaners? They're not over there going, they got that big machine. That's the best sound effects I can give you. Come on, use your imagination. Google it if you have to. It's not just, you know, something easy. You don't light press something. You press it hard if it's got wrinkles, right? We got a lot of wrinkles. Come on, man. We're messed up. We're messed up. The church is really, really messed up. So it's time for what? We got to go to the dry cleaners. See, this is what I said. The blood gets you saved, but you have to be part of the process of letting the blood do what it needs to do. You have righteousness with God, but you got to walk out righteousness to let righteousness do what it needs to do. Do you see what I'm saying? We only preach, yeah, I'm saved, woohoo. Okay, good. Now what are you going to do? I mean, what do we do with you? Let's keep you saved. Let's let you walk in righteousness and holiness and be fruitful, right? Why? Spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Any such thing is what? Any such thing. If I'm going to be wearing fine linen, white linen, I don't want nothing on me. I am the worst to wear white, by the way. Thank you, sister. My wife's like, that's right. I can never wear a white suit because as soon as I put it on, just a black something would go. I don't know. I'd hit a gnat. I would drop my pen on my shirt. I can't do. Can anybody do that? I can't. I look better in black because I get dirty and don't worry about it, right? Any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Well, how are we going to get there? It's got to be holy. It's got to be without blemish. Holiness, again, there's a positional and then there's progressional. There's walking in holiness. If I say I'm holy and I go out to the bar and do all these different things, is that holiness? No, it's not. I can say I'm holy all day long, but I'm not holy. I'm holy. I got holes. All right? And that goodness is leaking out of me. So without blemish. All right, next verse. I got to go because I got to show you something here. So ought men to love their wives, even their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So if I love my wife, I'm going to love myself. If I love, he's going to love himself. Jesus is going to love himself through the church. So he doesn't hate us. If he told me to love my wife like I love like myself, then he loves me as a wife or as a church, right, as a bride, like he loves himself. I think he loves himself. Right? I think so, because God is what? Love. The epitome of love, the totality of love. Next verse. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. There it is. He just explains it. I'm not going to beat myself up, my own flesh. Why would I beat up my wife? My wife is mine, and she and I am hers. In other words, two flesh become one. We're one spirit. She hurts, I hurt. She's got a bad day, I guarantee I'm going to have a bad day. And I could be doing nothing but sitting on the couch. Then all of a sudden, here comes the thunderstorm. Right? Then the whole house is shaking. Get mama right. Get mama right. Once mama's stable, everybody's good. Come on now. Right? But yeah, even as the Lord, the church, he loves us. We are his flesh. Who is my family? My family is everyone that does my will. That's what he said, right? That's us. I'm part of him. I'm part of him. He's part of me. Together we're one. We are definitely the family of God. We're the children of God. Come on, I got to go. I got to go. Next verse. For we are members of his body. There it is. Of his flesh and of his bones. Yahoo! Come on. Next verse. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. These two shall be one flesh. It's the same thing. I'm to leave the world and become one flesh with him. I'm to leave my sins. I'm to leave my spots, my wrinkles, my blemishes, and I'm going to go into this betrothal. I'm going into this engagement. I'm going into this future arrangement of being married to him. So I'm going to make myself clean. I'm going to keep myself clean. I'll need him to help me, though, because my righteousness is a filthy rags. I can't do it all myself. I need him. So he's going to use these atmospheric pressures of my life, what's happening in the last days, to bring his church where he wants it to be. It's called tribulation for a reason. Pressure. That's the definition. It's not bats and bees and bugs and demons, and that's all part of it. It's a period of pressure. Not just the 7 years of great tribulation, a tribulation of great tribulation, but life itself. He said, in this life you'll have what? Tribulation. You enter into the kingdom how? Through tribulations. Right? I hope this is good. Next verse. For this is the great mystery. But what's he talking about? Christ and the church. The whole time he's been talking about Christ and the church. Giving actual true principles between man and wife, husband, you know, and wife married and all that stuff. But he's also talking about the church. Next verse. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I like that part right there. Reverence what? Submit. Honor. It just really means to dote, just think he's the world. Now, having said that, men, you ought to give the wife something to dote over instead of being a dodo. Come on, know what I'm talking about. And then that woman needs extra grace for that. I want to show you something here just a moment. I've really just touched the surface, so I'm going to go back to this, what I just taught you here, a little more next time. And then go deeper into part two, part three. But I want to show you this. This real quick is a video that I believe where, and the Lord put this on my heart today, where I believe the church is headed. And it's, you say, you know, what is the church supposed to look like? What are we going to look like? I believe the church is going to look like the Church of Acts. In fact, I'm looking for a little writing that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, we will be opposite of what is and identical to what was. We will be opposite of what is currently right now. We're going to be opposite of this, but we're going to be identical to what was. I truly believe that. What I want you to see here in this video is about 6 minutes long. We're going to make it available as well to YouTube. But for live stream as well. This is some never seen before videos over in China. And I want you to kind of see how the China church, through great, great persecution, death, risk of life, livelihood, and all that, how they're flourishing, I believe you're going to see a picture of what the American church will be and the church globally in the days to come.
Few places in the world are seeing the explosion of God's power like the underground church in China is experiencing. And in the last 60 years, China's communist government has done its best to wipe Christianity off the map. What you are about to see is some of the rarest footage on the planet. In this church, the people wake up at 4:30 to come together for 2 hours to pray and worship. They do this every day. This church meets in the only place they are safe, a cave. This church meets on a farm, far away from prying eyes. Here's an example of an underground church outreach. The people sitting are Christians. The people who are standing are not. This particular preacher was once crippled, but was healed when someone prayed for her. She now preaches the good news of Jesus to anyone who will listen. In this particular meeting, over 1,000 people became Christians. Here, Christians cast out demons from an 18-year-old girl. She's now a preacher. In Shanghai alone, there are over 3,000 house churches, just like this one. One thing Dennis pointed out to me was that most of the underground churches in China are actually led by young people. These kids have all come out of the communist system, and they want nothing to do with it. They only want to spread the love of Jesus to everybody they meet. This is a music school. Well, that's the cover anyway. It's really a training school for students who want to be pastors. The government thinks they're simply learning to play instruments. One thing I quickly realized about the Chinese church is that it's a lot different from the American one. For one thing, they think a 4-hour sermon is short. In this church service, it's 120 degrees inside the building. The people meet for 12 hours straight. Dennis told me one story about a time he went to a very remote village in China to preach. He was led into a large room where the people were packed so closely together that he had his back to the wall and could reach out and touch the row in front of him. Everyone stood. There was no room to sit. He asked how long he should preach for, and they told him from 8:30 to 7 at night. Then they asked him, if it wasn't too much trouble, could you come back tomorrow and preach from 8:30 to 7 again? And then, very sheepishly, they asked again, if you'd be so kind, could you come back the day after that and preach from 8:30 to 7? He asked how often he should take breaks, and they told him not to stop. The people will wait. Then he asked them what he should preach on. Everything, they replied, from Genesis to Revelation. And then it dawned on him, these people had no Bibles.
After the death of Mao Zedong, the Chinese people, cheated by a false god, began to search for the true God. For the first time in their lives, people from the lowest levels of society came face to face with God's unconditional love, with Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and with the knowledge that in God's temple they had value and dignity. How could they not rejoice, like everyone who has received the most precious gift in the world?
Thank you. The first time I went to church, I felt the atmosphere there was really good. I found true meaning in life. I found a peace that I never felt before. Peace in the Lord. So I can sit without reservation. I will follow God for the rest of my life.
After the service, my soul felt especially sweet and joyful. Lord, how wonderful it will be if we can meet like this every day.
I lay awake for 3 nights, overwhelmed with joy. I thought, Lord, what have I received? Why am I so filled with joy? I have no money. I have no family. I have nothing. And you know, I was absolutely sure that this joy came from heaven.
Praise God forever. Isn't that awesome? I believe that's where the Church of America is headed. I believe we're headed to a place of underground, a place where it's pure, man, where we just love God. All this phoniness is going to end. All these plastic bananas up on the pulpit, all this flash and dash. Did you notice that? They were so hungry for God, they didn't have a special speaker. Led by the youth. I saw one guitar and a couple tambourines. No smoke machines, nothing like that at all, but pure expression. That's happening right now in China. It's happening in Iran. It's happening in various parts of the world. God is for us. He has great hope in the church here in America and around the world. He's not going to let us be abandoned, but we're going to have to go through some stuff and come to a place where a lot of the carnality of Christianity must come off of us, and we must get back to the roots of being raw and transparent with God. I would love to take an entire team and just drop us off right there and just hang out. Did you hear that? From 8 o'clock in the morning, they wanted him to preach to 7:30 at night, and it was true. No, nonstop. I've heard this testimony before. That's how hungry they are for the Word of God, and we can barely make it an hour and sometimes two. Come on, that's not condemnation. I'm not beating the church up. I'm just saying where we are compared to others in hunger. Their condition of persecution, their condition of the threat of life, of loss of life, has led them to this, and their hunger. And I pray our hunger does the same and even exceeds it. That's where I believe the end time church is headed. We're going to learn more about it as we go. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to hear your word tonight and to find ourselves in a position where we would become submissive to you, to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will, to your way, whatever you want, how may we serve you? What a great request that would be in the morning. What a great prayer. Instead of asking you, Lord, serve us, how can we serve you? I thank you for my brothers and sisters in China and Iran and other parts of the world that are underground, that are just tapping into the raw presence and the raw goodness of who you are. May we learn to do that today without the insulation of stuff and luxury, time constraints, obligations. May we just learn how to pursue you in a way that is relentless. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you guys. You're super blessed. I'll see you Sunday morning.